All right, welcome back to Programming Robotic Systems with Visual Studio. My name is Paul Pardee. I'm here with Chris Howd.
Hello.
If you missed previous modules, you'll definitely want to go back to the one we just recorded. We got to see the robotic arm chase down the little spider bot and or the little what do we call that that first robot there?
A little bug bot.
Bug bot. That's what it was. Bot. And we're not going to spoil what happened there, but if you missed it, you want to go back and watch. Yeah. But what we're going to do now is talk a little bit about wireless control and integrating wireless control and communication into your robot. This is a really cool space because this is where you can start to control your robot without having it automated. So it's essentially now the human becomes the
controller. It's a lot more fun, right? You're interacting more.
That's right. Yeah. And so it's really cool technology, and there's a lot of options. We're going to walk you through some options. And also, you know, Chris and I think of this as kind of the seed for what's becoming known as IoT or Internet of Things. So, for example, I have a Nest thermostat in my house, and it has a little radio controller that talks to my router, my home network, and that's how Nest communicates with the internet and can update software and all kinds of things. So when we start to have devices that have these controller boards on them and then this wireless communication, then you can do all sorts of things. Yeah. The devices can talk to each other.
Yeah. And it wouldn't have to be wireless, right? I mean, it could be a direct wired connection, right? But wireless.
It makes
it a lot easier, flexible. Right? You don't have to be, like your home doesn't have to be wired.
That's right.
You can, when you're using wireless or Wi-Fi or whatever.
So this is kind of the seed of that. This technology is the seed of what we're going to see as the Internet of Things technologies really starts to blow out. So let's talk a little bit about what we're going to do in this module. So we want to introduce you to what wireless control is. We'll talk about some options, radio frequency, Bluetooth are a couple of options. There's others that we'll just briefly cover. And then we're going to look at a very specific type of technology called XB, which is radio frequency wireless control. We'll do a little bit of a demo. And then we're going to show you the MS SpiderBot, which is where we integrated the wireless control into the robot. And then we're going to be able to control it using a PC. And we'll go back to the studio for that and show you how that works. So this is really about just breaking down the wireless control options and then showing you how we integrate those options into a working robot. All right, so let's talk about what wireless control is. We'll do a little bit of an introduction just to introduce you to the main ideas here, and then we'll show you some cool stuff, okay? So Chris, you want to talk about some of the pros and cons of wireless control and what's involved, what you have to consider?
So I guess to start out, right, you, like we said, you can be controlling this thing from somewhere else. You are controlling it, right? So you're not doing all the programming and then setting it loose like we did before with the other robots. Now you're actually getting to interact and do your thing, make it go this way, that way. So the device can move more freely, right? The MS SpiderBot could move around this room. It doesn't have any wire. It's not tethered, right?
That's right. And
then, you know, it's the fun part of we get to make the decisions for it. Cons, you know, it costs more money, right? If we didn't have wireless control, that's something less you're spending money on. The wireless could be slower. Your wireless connection could be slower than a wired connection. In this case, we're doing a little robot that wanders around, so it's the speed is, we're not communicating a lot of information.
That's right.
So its speed doesn't matter. Still have the cost. Not super expensive to get the receiver, transmitter receiver pairs, to get the pair, I don't know, maybe $50 would be average. When you get to the extended range, so RF, you can either have a, you know, kind of a shorter range, lower power, or you can have the long range, higher power. With the long range, maybe you're talking a little bit more money, but the power consumption is just as big a deal, right? Because you'll use a lot more battery power. So if you have a remote device a mile away, you need a good power source. And if it's a wandering little robot, then you need to think about the weight of the battery pack, right?
Yes.
So that would be a con. Then you would also, you need the user to be in control in some cases, right? It can have some autonomous as well as user-controlled activities. When it's about to run into a tree, it could stop. some kind of thing like that, right? But you would need to then maneuver it, right? So you can have the mix of autonomous and user-controlled, but a lot of times you would then need the user to control it, and it couldn't do its own thing.
Right, and we've talked about using many devices. So you can use a small little slate. You can use a phone, particularly if you're using Bluetooth. You can use a phone to control your robot. We're going to use a laptop. But the cool thing about these different technologies is based on the technology that you choose, you can control it using different devices.
Right.
So we'll show a little bit of how that works as well.
Yeah. Right, and that's the next thing right here on this intro slide. We're talking about, you can use radio frequency control like what we're doing, but there's Bluetooth, which is, pretty standard in most devices, so it's on your phone probably. So that can be fun. You could just control your robot from your phone. And then we have Wi-Fi, right? So you're connecting to your local network, and then you could control your robot from your website, which would be fun as well. Then we have things like NFC and GPS that we'll talk about a little bit as well.
Yes, great. So let's talk a little bit about radio frequency and some of the pros and cons of this, and then what's involved in using RF wireless communication in your robot.
Yeah, so RF, probably one of the big things is the range that you get from RF. So you can, like I said, you get this higher powered module that will get you 2 miles. When you think of RF and range, you think of the remote controlled airplanes.
Yes.
And the drones, right, is what the popular thing
That's
to
right.
call them now.
So
you have a good long range out of them. It's cost efficient. Like I said, you get a pair for $50, maybe a little bit less than that as well. And there's lots of options, right, as well. You do have to think about the trade-off between the range and the power consumption. In the case of our MS Spiderbot, we didn't need a lot of range. So if we used the Pro module, we had to add a battery. Didn't have to, but we did add a battery pack because the small battery that we were using for the controller board drained pretty quickly when it was also powering the RF transmitter. So you do have to think about power. And then communication speed for us, it wasn't a big deal, but if we were transmitting video over RF, then we would care about the speed. So those are some of the characteristics of RF.
And how does RF compare to Bluetooth? That's what we want to talk about next.
Yeah, so Bluetooth, the range is the big deal, right? Bluetooth is about 30 feet, 32, 33 feet. So big, huge difference there. Cost, it's probably comparable. You might be able to get some Bluetooth modules that are just a little bit less expensive. In part, your power consumption is going to be low, and then your device compatibility is the big thing, right? So your trade-off for extended range, now you can use it with your phone pretty easily. A lot of the modules will run off of USB, so you got Bluetooth built in. You don't have to, so it's going to lower your cost there too, right? Because you'll have your Bluetooth transmitter in your phone. And the receiver on the robot. So that's pretty much. And then in terms of speed, they're probably comparable.
Are they comparable? Yeah, I've heard that Bluetooth can be a little laggy, but your experience is that it's
yeah, I think comparable. I think maybe you get what you pay for.
Yeah, in terms of Bluetooth, yeah.
A certain extent. Yeah.
And then the other wireless options, we've already mentioned these. We've got Wi-Fi, NFC, and GPS. Wi-Fi is the system that most people have in their homes. And, of course, coffee shops and other places have Wi-Fi as well.
Yep.
And then you can communicate. This is where the Internet of Things technology really starts to flower, I think, when you start thinking about a wired home and then having these devices that are all connected.
And, of course, you can connect. You can be using Bluetooth in your device and then connect it through a PC to the Internet or your local network. So you can get there with the other technologies as well. It's not like if you use RF, you can't connect to your network or,
sure.
or control it. You need one extra little step in there to do it. So,
what's NFC? Maybe a lot of people aren't.
Yeah, near field communication, right? So, you'll see that in a lot of the phones. Not sure about tablets as much, but definitely in the phones. And that's when I think of NFC, I think of people paying for things going through the airports. It's kind of that thing where you see somebody tap the devices together to share a photograph or something like that. But it can be used to communicate lots of different types of information. It's not just photos or banking or whatever. But that's really close range, right?
Yes.
So Paul and I were talking a little bit about what would you use NFC for in a robot, and luckily Barry suggested, hey, if you want two robots to come together, communicate information, you know, maybe they're setting up some strategy against this other robot, and they
or
need
romance,
to share.
They're romantically involved. That would be a good option.
So, but there would be lots of uses for NFC as well. But it's that close up communication that you would establish that link.
Perfect. And then GPS. Everybody's familiar with GPS. That's the thing that a lot of us have in the car for navigation. You can use it in your robots in the same way.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a communication, but we've talked about navigation as well in our last module, last session, for autonomously moving around in your area. So GPS is definitely a wireless. It's wireless.
That's right. That's for sure.
So I think that rounds out those different technologies.
Yep. All right. So that's an overview. We wanted to just give you a kind of a thumbnail of what's available. If you were with us in the last module, we showed you some websites where you can purchase some of these things, and you can find a lot of these technologies and the components for them on those websites. So now what we want to do is focus on a specific RF technology called XB, and we're going to use XB as a means of demonstrating how this technology can work. And we'll walk you through a demo. Before we do that, we want to talk about some of the options and how you configure XB hardware, and then part of the operational aspects of XB. So, Chris, you want to talk a little bit about what are the XB hardware options?
So, XB is a company, right, that makes these RF. They make other types of wireless transmitters and receivers as well, but their RF modules are referred to as XBs, and it's kind of an industry recognized technology, and we just picked it because it was well supported, and we're not saying, hey, this is the technology you should be using, but it was the one that we picked, and probably not unhappy about it. It works very well for us, and we are going to be showing you that. What we have is transmitter receiver pairs. You have a coordinator, which is like you'll have one coordinator in your network, and you can set up a full network of these things, and you have a router, and you can have a lot of routers, and then you have an endpoint. Endpoint is transmitting and receiving data, but it can't send that data to, it can't share it out like a router can, and it also can sleep. I'm not going to get into it too deep, right? Because we just have a very simple configuration that we're using. But there are different configurations for these. You can change the configuration of the modules by downloading different software onto them, so firmware. And then you can set up any of the modules as a coordinator, or a router, or an endpoint. The routers will transmit to each other. So if you had a router go out in your network, the other routers will fill in the gap. So it's pretty robust. And then we're going to go through, we're not going to go through the configuration process, but we're using a coordinator and a router in our pairs, both in our demo and in the MS Spiderbot. And let's see. So the last thing on the slide is talking about the different modes of operation. You can be in AT mode, which is just an all kind of, I think, always transmit, but it's probably stands for something else. Or an API configuration, which is sending more packages of information. You can set up your security if you're worried about security. There's a lot of different things that you can do. So in general, big, nice, robust, well-established technology.
That's great. So does every XB environment have to have all three components, or can you have, like, can you just have a coordinator and an endpoint, or a coordinator and a router?
Yeah, you only need two.
Okay.
Yep.
But it could
you do need a coordinator.
You do need a coordinator.
And you need something else.
Yeah.
And you can only have one coordinator.
Got it. But it can be a router or an endpoint, and either works. Okay, great. Yep. So let's move right into the demo. This is where we're going to get into kind of the fun stuff and show you how these how this wireless technology works. So
all right,
why don't you talk us through what we're going to do? We're going to be pairing a controller coordinated in a router, correct?
Yeah. So the company the XB Corporation. Provide software to help you to configure these devices. We said that you can take a module and you can configure it in the different ways. So that same software can be used for communicating. So what we have is we have our coordinator plugged into our PC, and we have our router connected to our Arduino board, and we are going to communicate using the software from XB,
right,
to communicate from the coordinator, from the PC, to the router on the Arduino little demo.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So we're going to send it a command, and then based on what that command is, so let me make this software, let me make the code a little bit larger. So we have some lights, so now we can see that on screen. So we have two little LEDs. One is red, one is green. And what we're doing is we're saying if there's something in the queue, we're going to light up the red LED. If the message is the message we're looking for, we're going to light up the green LED. And then we also have a servo, in case the lights don't show real well, we have a servo that's going to run at two different speeds based on the information that it's getting. Now down in, and then we have message in and message out. We're, I don't think we're using message out. We could be sending a confirmation message back to the coordinator if we wanted to. So we're just setting up which pins these are on here.
And again, we talked about this in previous modules, what all that means. So if you're unfamiliar with that terminology, just go back and watch the first few modules of this series.
Yeah, but really easy, right? There's different pin numbers on the Arduino boards, and we're just specifying which one, and then we're down here, we're saying that we're using it as output, so we're going to be turning the lights on and off, and then we're just attaching the servo. So all straightforward stuff. We're using serial communication with the RF, right? So it's a serial connection. Now we say, okay, if there's information available, so if there's something in the queue, if we've received some information, let's go ahead and say, okay, we're going to light our red light, our red LED will light up if there's something there. Then we're going to wait a period of time, and then we're going to actually read that message, and then we're going to wait a period of time longer than that. Now we're going to check to see what that message we received was, right? Because we're going to say we're putting in this message in. We're checking the value of message in, and we're going to compare that with the capital G. And these are actually the, I think it's an ASCII representation of a G. It's not it's not an alpha numeric character, I believe. And then if it is what we're looking for, now we're going to turn the light green. And we're going to wait a little bit longer, and then a delay again. Oh, we're running the servo. I'm sorry. We're speeding up the servo motor.
Faster, yes.
Right? And then we wait. Now, if it's not the message we were looking for, right? So if it is the message we wanted, then if it's not the message we wanted, then we're turning the light off, and we're stopping the motor. And we don't turn the red light off, it looks like, there. But if the buffer is empty, then we do.
Got it. Cool. So we're only looking for one message, right, which is capital G.
And yep.
Otherwise,
anything else will just say that there's something in the buffer.
But it won't turn
the light. It'll light the red light. And then a little bit later, it compares what was in the buffer, because it reads it.
Right.
And compares what was with the representation of G. Yeah. So the red light should light every time we send it something.
Yeah, that's right.
And the green light will light only if it gets what we wanted, what it was expecting.
Yeah.
Right. So we've shown the software, but we haven't shown pairing it up yet.
Yeah. So why don't we do that next?
Yep. So that's this other software. So we can see this. So now the first thing we're going to do, Paul, is we're going to look to see what's connected to our PC. Mm-hmm. Let's click this. So now it sees the our USB ports, right? And I'm going to deselect our Arduino board and select this other USB serial port. Say next. These are the configuration that it should be finding, mm-hmm. right? And say finish. Okay, now you can hear things moving as it's searching for devices, so it's getting some signals as it's doing that. I'm going to say select and add device to devices. Now we can see that we found this coordinator 2. I'm going to select it. And it is reading the information off of that board, off that little module. And this is how it's been configured. So it's reading in the configuration data. Mm-hmm. So we could make changes to this configuration, but it's set up as a pair now. Right? And it has settled down, so it's cleared out the buffer. As it was loading up, it was receiving some information, so that buffer is now empty. I'm going to move over here to the command area.
This is all XP software, is that correct?
This is their software, that's yes. Right. Now it's saying I open up a serial connection, so I'm going to actually connect it. So now we're connected to the coordinator. And now I can send it a little message. So now they're paired, ready to go. So if I send it something other than a G, we should see the red light.
Correct.
Light, and the motor should go at a slower speed.
Correct.
Okay. And it should wait a little while, 5 seconds or whatever the delay was, and then it goes off. Okay, so that worked great. Now, if I send it a capital G, which you can see there in the kind of the this area, right? So I typed in whatever that was, a D. If I type in the capital G, we should first see that it saw something in the buffer, so it should go, the red light should light, and the motor should move the same way it did. Mm-hmm. But it should then look and see that it was, in fact, the capital letter G or ASCII representation thereof, and it should then turn the green light on and go faster.
Right.
Right. So here I go.
And the red light should stay on too, right?
Yeah, we didn't turn it off.
Yes.
All right, and the green light is lit. You can't see it very well. And now our green light is still going for a little bit here. At some point, it should go through and say, hey, there's nothing in the buffer and everything should go off.
It should turn it off. That's cool.
But that's basically it, right? So, again, you know, with the letter G, and that's all there is to it, right? I mean, from a software standpoint, it was really very simple, right?
Yes.
The board that we're using, the shield board, and maybe you can see this. I don't know. I might turn it the wrong way on you. So there's the little receiver. And this, so the receiver module, and you can kind of see they're labeled, right? R and C. Because they can be programmed to be either one, they're not indicated on the modules themselves, right? So we put a little label on there so that we knew which was paired. But you can see the shield that was purchased for it has this little tiny switch on there because it's using serial in the same way that the Arduino board uses serial. Having a little switch that allows you to program the board without interfering with your serial RF communication is a nice little switch, right? Otherwise, you'd have to take the RF module off of the board while you're sending the program to the Arduino board.
Now, it might not have been clear, but what we were doing was we were sending a signal to the little device that I had here in my hand. I'm showing, I don't know if you can see it, this little guy. And when Chris would press the D or the G, it would send that signal to this device, and then using the radio control would send it over to the other board that would make it do something. So we were actually using two radio devices, and they were talking to each other. Well, it's actually one-way communication, but the one was talking to the other to tell it what to do. So that's how it was. We did the demo. We made the operation work in that direction. Now what we're going to do is quickly talk about the SpiderBot, where we bring this together in an actual robot and show how you can use the radio wireless control to actually make the robot do certain things. Very similar to what we just showed you, but obviously it's going to be in a robot that's going to walk around and do some things. Before we go back to the arena, we want to talk about how we put the SpiderBot together, and then we'll show you it working all in kind of one place.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about how we developed the SpiderBot, some of the aspects of it. We're not going to go into a lot of depth of how this was put together, so we want to give you a quick overview before we show it to you.
That's right. So most everything that we've covered so far, so we've covered the different technologies that went into this. So you have everything that you need in order to build one of these.
That's
You know, we can throw up the different, when we share out the code, we'll share out the hardware that we used in these different things as well. But basically what it is each of the legs is using three servo motors. You kind of, maybe you can't see it. They each use three servo motors, so it can take little steps forward and backwards. Weight was an issue for us, so we made it out of a carbon fiber board, which gave us it doesn't seem like a flexibility of the board would be an issue, but the carbon fiber is nice and stiff, so it allowed for the legs to move and hold the weight of the little SpiderBot up without too much flexing.
Yeah.
Which turned out to be kind of important for us. So we have all with eight legs, three motors on each leg, 24 motors. So we're using two different shields to control the motors. So we have our motor driver shield, and then we have the RF communication shield. And they're all using I2C. So they just need to be set up on different channels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it.
Now, speaking of the weight problem, when you did an early prototype of this robot, you tried to make it out of plexiglass and it wouldn't stand up. I remember you telling me you was struggling.
Different servos as well, right? So we're using a micro server servo with metal gears.
Got it.
All right, so it's a little bit stronger. Relatively higher torque. They're maybe, I think, $6 to $8 a piece. So it's a more expensive robot to build than the others, just because of the different hardware that we're using on it. But it was fun, right? And we wanted to have something that was RF that was kind of more interesting, right?
Yeah.
But instead of doing the wheeled motion, doing the leg motion, it was a little bit more challenging.
Yeah, because you're working with a lot more servers, servos. You got to be talking servers now. A lot more servos. We're using the shields, and then we've added an RF board to it as well. So there's a lot going on with this.
And then there's the coordination of the leg motion, right? So there's some different things. But it does a few different things, which we'll see here in a second. And we're using RF off the PC. The same way that we were doing the RF communication there, you can kind of see that there's a RF module here, and we have a paired same kind of deal. So you can see it's a little antenna poking up.
Right? That's right.
And you might have noticed that in our other one, in our little demo, the router didn't have a little antenna poking up.
Mm.
And that's one of the configurations that you can get with the XBs is the antenna is just part of the board.
Ah, perfect.
Right? So there are times when you might not want to have this big antenna poking up, right? It might be a space thing or it could be something else. I think maybe the range is affected just slightly by that, not too much. So that's it. So we're going to make our trip over to the pit and watch the
spider go.
So hopefully that'll work.
All right. We'll see you over in the in Studio B.
All right. Here we are. We're back in the pit. And this time we've come with the MS SpiderBot, which is our RF-controlled robot. See, what are we going to do? We got this all set up. I have my PC here. I'm going to be controlling it. Let's turn this bad boy on. All right, it's going to initialize. I'm going to move over here, and I will give it a command from my PC. Let's try forward, which is towards me. Let's go back. And I think we should spin. So what we're doing here is I'm sending a command from our XB module connected to the computer, which is the PC, which is the commander coordinator, and then I am receiving it on the module, the XB module set up as the router. So coordinator on the PC, router on this guy. Let's go forward. Let's speed it up just a little bit. Send it a 5. And let's try a left turn. That is a right turn. Back him up a little bit. Let's speed it up a little bit more. Spin again. And let's try a little bit more forward and then crouch. And let's see if he can arch up. And back to a crouch. Back up. And he's gonna do a kind of a left-hand turn. Back him up off the wall. This is just kind of an idle motion. So each of these different commands we're sending it, he's programmed to do this. There's a lot of different options here, right, that we can do. And these are just a few of them. And we can just stand still there. Again, we crouch down, start moving forward, turn left, back up. So you get the idea. That's pretty much it. And that's going to wrap up for this module. And we will see you back over in Studio A.